11 minutes after 8 o'clock. Good morning, Gary Byron here with you up until 10 o'clock. Our next guest is a former Republican gubernatorial candidate. Now out there to... let me tell you something. What this guy has done over the last several months as far as providing masks for those who need it he's gone above and beyond the call of duty with his exceptional work. He is Bob Stefanowski. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
I'm very, very well.
All right. So, hey, listen, we've been talking for a little while about Phase 3 more or less being kind of halted, I guess, in some regards. Some say it's indefinite. Some say that it just needs to take a longer look at bars in particular, and that other things will continue to move forward in Phase 3. It's just really the bars that are being halted. Listen, there's probably an argument that's valid on both sides, I guess, if you want to look at other states. Granted, some of these states are not even our neighboring states, but they're kind of unique to themselves. And of course, we don't want to take a step backwards. I completely understand that. But there are people who make their living in the bar and restaurant industry, and it just seems like they've caught much of the brunt of this.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gary. And it's obviously a fine balance, and you got to put safety first. But I'll tell you, when you look at the lines of people that were out at Rentschler Field waiting for food, and the lines of people that we had at our mask events waiting for masks, a bad economy can have negative impacts on the health of people as well. And I just think we've been very, very slow. We've been one step behind everybody else with Governor Lamont. And we should be thinking right now about what we can do to get ahead of it. What can we be doing to get ahead of Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, rather than waiting for Governor Cuomo to do something and then doing the same thing 3 days later?
You know, and that's, we had Sue Hatfield on a little while ago, and she more or less said the same thing. It's like, we had to look, she kept on hammering, look at the metrics and lead rather than follow. And I want to look at this rather objectively because, I mean, listen, we did not have a second wave. Let me knock on wood here first. You know, we're not having a second wave as of yet, where some of these other states have taken several steps backwards. In fact, there's some states that are seeing more cases now than they did over the winter when everyone else was at their peak. And while Connecticut is still on the decline as far as cases are concerned, however, can a balance be struck between, you know, maybe opening the bars at even a 25 or 30% capacity and still maintaining some, I'm not talking about nightclubs here. I'm talking about bars that, you know, still maintain social distancing at that capacity and but yet still be able to be open?
Well, just to back up a little bit, you know, the governor is very good at picking the statistics he wants to talk about. And, yeah, we're one of the green states. We're one of the few green states. But if you look at the number, the deaths per capita, Connecticut's the highest in the nation. So, I mean, getting the coronavirus is bad, but if you get it and you recover, it's not the end of the world. What we really should be focused on, how many people didn't recover? And when you look at the lack of attention he gave to the nursing homes, I think when the dust settles here, it's going to be, what did he do? You know, why did we ever put infected people in nursing homes? And why didn't we have the PPE that we needed? So my point is back to you. I mean, if you want to focus on number of cases, yeah, you keep the bars shut down forever. And you keep the restaurants shut down forever. And you keep the economy shut down forever. But if he could have been a little bit more targeted, and rather than shutting down the entire economy, focused on where the real risk was, which is older people in nursing homes, we could have had a better result in terms of deaths with less impact to this economy on the negative side than we're seeing.
How could they? I mean, is it the masks, the quality of the masks, or the lack of masks at these nursing homes?
It was the lack, Gary. I mean, we started distributing masks, and I hate to keep talking about masks, but it's really, really important. We started distributing them on March 31st. He didn't start delivering until May. There was a 42-day lag, and when we would go to nursing homes early on, Gary, they were crying when we showed up because they were in such desperate needs. And you've got the older, most susceptible part of the country or the state without any mask whatsoever. So, yeah, we can brag about the statistics now. And don't get me wrong, it's a good thing that we're doing better than other states. But I think you got to look at the economy. And when you keep bars shut down forever, they're going to go out of business. And some of these bars are not going to reopen. And some of these businesses are not going to reopen. And if we could get ahead of it, and at least start to do some things where we're ahead of Massachusetts and Rhode Island, because the next shoe that's going to drop, Gary, is a severe recession, at least in the state of Connecticut, if not across the country.
So then what is the answer? Is it what I suggested? Is it opening up in a gradiated manner where it's, you know, gradually start off at 25%? What is the compromise between health and safety and economy and putting people, especially these people, back to work?
I think your idea is a good one. I mean, you could test it a little bit and see how it goes. The problem with, and this isn't just Governor Lamont, we paint everything with the same brush now.
Yeah, we do. You're right.
You know, you have a horrible police action, which was horrible, should have never happened, but the answer is defund every police department, right? You've got a coronavirus that's going to, you know, infect people that you want to stop, shut down the entire state of Connecticut. And kind of the pendulum response is so severe, and if you look at a little bit more detail and you're a little bit more thoughtful, you can get away with a compromise and still have better results. So I don't see the difference that much, Gary, between opening up a restaurant and opening up a bar, to be honest with you. And it seems like we're selective in terms of what we decide to do. We pick winners and losers. There's not a lot of disclosure over how these decisions are made, and people end up being pretty confused.
Yeah, I know. What about this this Boston Consulting Group and the lack of transparency? We don't even know what's going on at these meetings. Who's behind not opening the bars or not having a complete phase three opening? Is it the governor? Is it this consulting group? Where is he getting this advice from?
I don't know, Gary, and that's part of the problem with our governor. If you explain why you make a decision to people, even if they don't agree with it, they'll understand it. But when you cancel the reopening of hair salons a day before it's supposed to happen and they've prepared for it, when you've got an education partnership with Ray Dalio with $100 million of taxpayer money that's not subject to freedom of information, when you're suppressing records of police involved in, you know, bad acts because the union contracts supersede freedom of information laws, when you hire Boston Consulting for $2 million but you don't tell anybody, people start to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. And I think people need to hold this administration more accountable.
We're talking with Bob Stefanowski. So do you, well, let's go there then. Do you think people are giving Lamont a pass on this because he's erring on the side of public safety? Or do you think,
I think he's getting away with it, Gary, and I think he's being bolder every day. Because other than you and a few other people out there, most of the press doesn't hold him accountable. So he can go up on a daily news brief and brag about how far ahead we were on PPE, when the reality is there was a 42-day period where probably thousands of people got infected that could have been prevented if he had the PPE up there. So he starts the basis of the discussion in a spot that's not even factual. He says the only reason Connecticut's going to have a problem with our economy is because Corona hit. That is an absolute lie. Connecticut was the worst economy in the entire nation going into Corona. We're the only ones who hadn't recovered the jobs for the Great Recession. So for him to get up there and say we got problems coming because it's, you know, Corona will be part of it, but we already had severe problems. And that's the problem with the debate right now, Gary. You're not starting in a factual place. And people have to start getting back to the facts. And I think when we look at the facts, it's not going to be as rosy as Governor Lamont wants to paint it.
How deeply will this impact our budget going forward?
Oh, it's going to be it'll be horrendous. You look at the amount of tax receipts that haven't come in. You've got, at a minimum, a $2 billion budget deficit. There was a ranking last week that came out, the 100 cities, the best to worst in job growth. You know, number one was the best. 100 is the worst. Bridgeport, Hartford, and New Haven were 98, 99, and 100. That's almost statistically impossible that we have the worst three cities in the entire top 100. You almost have to try to do that. So So, again, this is an opportunity for Governor Lamont to start to change some of that. If we would just take actions before others do and lower the tax rate a little bit and get people to come in Connecticut, this crisis could be turned into something that helps the economy. But I fear that he's going to sit back and not do anything about it.
Well, you see, I don't know if you saw the front page of the Hartford Courant on Sunday where he's looking, where he says a change of pace where Connecticut is trying to lure companies from New York as the pandemic transform habits. And he's talking about, since people want to not live in the bubble of Manhattan, to move to the Gold Coast and teleconference, maybe go into the city a couple of days a week, but do a lot of their meetings and work from home and through either in the internet or the phone.
Well, that's a perfect example, Gary. Yeah, people are moving in. They want to get out of the city. It's helping the Fairfield County market. But what has he done to lure them in? What has he done at all? I mean, it's a positive development, but has he lowered the property tax rate? Has he given a credit on closing costs? Has he done anything to improve the schooling in that area? So he says he lures it in. I mean, it's a nice benefit that's happening, but he had absolutely nothing to do with it, and he's not doing anything at all to stimulate it.
No, you're right. I'm trying to look at the glass as half full, Bob.
I think it's great, Gary. This is an opportunity for Connecticut. People are going to move out of the cities. They're going to realize, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but I remember when people lived in Fairfield County and commuted into New York because there was no income tax here.
That's right.
And there was an income tax in New York. People will do that commute, or they will work from home. But you have to make it attractive for them to be here. And when we put a state income tax in, that's now 6.99%. People, you know, it doesn't happen anymore. But it is an opportunity. With any crisis like this, it's going to fundamentally change how people live, how people work, how people think about things. It's an opportunity. And to Sue Hatfield's point, if she said it, you know, credit to her, we should be looking at it that way. And we should start looking at how we can get ahead some of the states around us.
I just look at what the next I'm thinking of what the next budget will look like and how many ways our taxes will go up. Not only raising in taxes, but creating brand new taxes where there wasn't, you know.
Well, that's why these elections are so important this fall. Can you imagine if we end up with a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate and a Democratic governor? You know exactly where they're going to jump into taxes, and where they should be jumping is cost control. You know, we just gave the state, and I love the state of employees, Connecticut, and they were entitled to it, but we just gave them a 5.5% raise at over $300 million. To your point earlier, we pay BCG, a consultant outside the state, $2 million. And while we're doing all these things, the economy is sliding off a cliff. And it's interesting that Governor Lamont very rarely talks about the economy. And you know why? Because it's going to hurt Democrats in the elections. And I think we need to point it out. Because if we don't get some Republican pushback, and you were there, Gary, you know, If we don't get some conservative pushback, we're going to have a problem with taxes.
Well, then, let's go there. Here we are in July already. And let's face it, you and I both know that campaigning this year has its handicaps. It's not going to be as it was in the past. Maybe doing doors and shaking hands is kind of off the tables. So many would say that this could be the year of the incumbent, whether you're Republican or Democrat. And if you're a Republican, you say, well, okay, well, is that really good? Because the Democrats have had the majority in the House and Senate here in the state of Connecticut. So there very well be another trifecta this upcoming November.
I agree. We got to work three times as hard. You've got incumbents. This absentee ballot is not going to help Republicans. It never does. And to your point, it's going to be hard to get out there. So I think people need to be innovative. Maybe it's more mailers. Maybe it's more, video calls. Maybe it's more radio. I mean, people listen to your show. But I think you got to find other ways to get the message out. Because what's interesting, Gary, is the message works in our favor. The message works in conservatives' favor, which is we've had 20, 30 years of higher taxes. It's not working. And if we could just get the message out and get people to focus on the facts, it would help. But it's, to your point, it's very, very hard when people are homebound.
Okay, so you've been in the fray. You run for governor, and you lost by a real small margin. You know, as well as I do, you to a greater extent, because you were statewide, I just had my district to worry about, that at least in the state of Connecticut is concerned, these elections are really determined by the independent voter. It's really Republicans that need to attract the independent voter and go there. If they're going to make any headway, you can't go in like a bull in a china shop, as I like to say, and say, hey, I'm the most conservative one around. And that doesn't work well in Connecticut. That may work well in other parts of the country, but it doesn't work well in Connecticut. So then how, if you're going to win as a Republican, how does the candidate attract the independent voter?
Yeah, so we did well with independent. I mean, it's 2-1, Democrat to Republican,
right.
and we lost by 3 points. So it shows you we flipped most of the independents our way. I think, again, there's a lot of social issues right now, and they're absolutely important. We had a big debate at my dinner table last night with my three daughters. But I think in terms of Republicans, and I think it's also one of the most important things facing Connecticut right now is the economy. And when you talk about the economy, the Democrats have absolutely no leg to stand on. You look at any metric you want, Gary, employment, inflation, taxes, job growth, small business prosperity, number of people leaving the state. You look at any single metric you want on the economy, and it points towards trying something different. Because we've been taxing and spending for 30 years, the economy gets worse every year. So I tried to focus on the economy in a statewide election. What Lamont did very, very well was focusing people on Washington, D.C., and what was going on there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people learned a lesson, because now they're saying, geez, I really should have voted about what impacts me more than what's going on in Washington right now. And I think to a lesser extent, because they're not statewide, but to a lesser extent, we got to get people focused on local issues this fall.
Yeah, and that's going to be the difficult issue. That's going to be the difficult thing to do with all of the restrictions and campaigning. Oh my goodness! There's just so little time left, and I've got such huge questions to ask that probably require a lot more time. I just look at cutting. It's easy to say, well, we got to cut. Keep in mind that everyone has a constituency, and not all the cuts will apply to everybody in the state or in your district if you're running for House or Senate. But it will affect some part. It will impact some part of your constituency that may have voted for you. You know.
Well, and this is where Democrats play it very well. I mean, I'm big on education, and I went through the public schools, and there were no cuts planned to education. I think we could be more efficient. We can use the money better. We can allocate it better. But they immediately jumped to Bob's going to cut your number of teachers, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. So they jumped to the emotional issues. But when you look at a $20 billion budget, Gary, and you were up there, I know it's hard, but you can't tell me we couldn't.